Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, Kim Seltzer, a dating and makeover expert, where I will help you build confidence, make connections, and find love from the outside in. You've heard the term act as if and you will become. And this is actually an old psychology philosophy that if something is causing anxiety, whether it's because it's new, you are ridiculed for it, or a disbelief in yourself, if you act as if you are the opposite of how you feel with your intentions, emotions, and physicality, then you will act, feel, and become a different person. In fact, you may even become good at the very thing you fear. Well, that was certainly the case with me. I mean, here I was dating after divorce, scared to death of flirting. And here I teach flirting. Okay. So this stuff works. It allows you to rein in the undesirable feelings like anxiety, increases your perseverance on challenging tasks, and boosts your self-control. So what if you used this theory in your dating life, especially to overcome obstacles and challenges that you have experienced? And I use this all the time with clients I work with. And most of you know that I use what I call costume confidence with your wardrobe in my outside in approach to gain sexy confidence first. In fact, I just did that with all my clients at my recent dating retreat. They all claimed to be really bad flirts. Define themselves as high introverts, and had a really hard time being silly and letting themselves go. And they definitely didn't see themselves necessarily as sexy. So after I did a makeover on all of them and they did a photo shoot, I made them all come up with their alter ego vixen flirt names. I kid you not, I made them all say out loud who they were. And then I had the women put on cat ears and red lipstick. I had the men put on baseball caps to get into character. And then I gave them an app with prompts to get out into a mall on a scavenger hunt that made them do really silly things with strangers. They were horrified at first, but I made them do it. And when they came back, they all looked different. They were like different people. The women were sexier and sillier. The men were fun and looser. And they all said they broke barriers and let go some of the fears that had been going on. And a lot of it was being seen and fear of rejection. And this translated out into the real world when they returned home. They are all sharing their wins and how they met people in the airport and now in their everyday lives since the retreat, which has never happened before. This all has to do with your perception. I call it the dating matrix. You might be walking around in the same world and you put a different pair of glasses. It's the same world, but now you're seeing something different. So if you think that there are no good men or no good women out there, put on your glasses, see something different. And once you see that, that's who you will attract. So adopting an alter ego is an extreme form of self-distancing too, which involves taking a step back from your immediate feelings to allow you to view a situation more dispassionately, which it sounds kind of strange, but then that gives you permission to act and believe in yourself in a whole new way. So with me today is an incredible man who is going to help me talk about this concept of using your alter ego to overcome feats, both big and small, in your love life, hopefully. He has been entrenched in the world of elite performers for over two decades, working with the highest achievers in sports and business to help them achieve their most ambitious goals. Simply put, he helps ambitious people do hard things. His professional programs are delivered to over 200,000 professionals annually in 73 countries. Named by the Boston Herald as a training superstar, he has been featured on the Today Show, Sky News, Inc. Magazine, CBS, and Business Insider, amongst others, and now the Charisma Quotient. He is the author of WSJ best-selling book, The Alter Ego Effect. And he speaks about secret identities and alter egos. He's talking about leveraging the innate creative powers of your mind and being intentional about the traits and characteristics you most want to activate on any field of play you enter. And he claims he's the worst ukulele player. I want to work with him on that and see if he has an alter ego about that. Welcome, Todd Herman. Todd, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I had so much fun meeting you at a conference recently, and I know like we shared a lot of the same kind of philosophy, so I was excited to have this conversation with you. But you know, the one thing that I really don't know, I mean, I've read some, but I don't know like your whole backstory, like how you got into all this stuff.
Well, I mean, I would call myself an accidental coach and entrepreneur. I fell into this because after I got done playing college football, I was volunteering at a high school. And while I was working with my defensive backs, and again, I had started out my career in really hospitality is kind of where it was. I love the hospitality world. I was 21 at the time, 2021. I was working with the kids way more on their mental game. That was kind of my strength, was that I had started learning about it at about the age of 15 after I was kicked out of a volleyball tournament for punching a guy through the net. And apparently fighting in volleyball isn't a very popular thing. but it was because he was doing some, every time he went up to spike the ball, he tried to kick me in the groin underneath the net. And I just took offense to that. And so I grabbed him and knocked him out. And, I had an amazing first mentor, Mr. Henderson, and he was my teacher for all my years that I was in my small little rural school, 65 total kids, kindergarten to grade 9, Schuler, Alberta, Canada, middle of kind of nowhere, which is why in my book, I say to all the kids from the middle of nowhere, this book is for you. And so he gave me a book to read on like leadership. And in the book, the person talked about mindset. And it was actually not a very good book, but the whole mindset thing and mental toughness stuff kind of captured my attention. And this is, you know, late 80s. And I sort of fell down this rabbit hole, and it helped me propel me into getting college scholarships and stuff. So I would actually spend more time talking to these young kids on the, you know, high school football team about their mental game and preparation and goal setting and things. And they started getting great results, not just on the field, but off the field. Then a mom asked me, "Hey, would you mind mentoring Kirby?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And then she was looking at me uncomfortably. She's like, "Okay, well, how much do you want to charge me?" And I said, "How about $75 for 3 sessions?" And that's how the Peak Athlete started in 1997. And as I started to getting to the alter ego stuff, as I started building this practice and getting better mentors, my philosophy, which was given to me from my parents because they knew I would never become a farmer and rancher like they were. They said to me, you know, when you go out there in the world, we're probably not going to be able to help you very much professionally with whatever your career is, because you're going to choose something very different. You're our little black sheep. But just whatever you do, go and find the best at it. And that's really important for you, because that means that you deserve the best. But choose the best. Go and learn from them. And so I did. I'm a big believer in an apprenticeship and a mentorship. And so I tucked myself under the wing of the best mental game person on the planet. He wrote the Bible of the industry called Coaching the Mental Game. And he started funneling me pro athletes. Getting to the alter ego stuff now. What I found as I started working with the highest caliber of athletes in all sports, because I ended up working in a total of 86 different sports. I was not a mental game guy for just like hockey or football or basketball, was that the best of the best knew how to use their identity on the court, on the field, on the ice, on the snow, on the slopes, whatever. And that's where I discovered alter egos. I used it when I played and I was like, wait a second, this is a hidden thing. And I became known as the guy who builds the identities and alter egos of people, including I built out the Black Mamba for Kobe Bryant in 2003 and a list of a lot of others.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, I wonder, because I mean, you and I talked about this, you're more of an extrovert, right? And you are able to like kind of put yourself out there and build all this stuff. But was there ever a time that you were fearful of really like going after something? Because I mean, my gosh, you worked with some of the biggest people in your industry.
Yeah. Especially when I was transitioning into working with more professional athletes, because I was actually I was quite young. I was the same age or even younger than some of my clients. But it was, this is, I literally just did a tweet about this today, 45 minutes before we got on here, about how there's no such thing as self-made. Anyone who uses the term self-made is a massive narcissist. We're all team-made, family-made, community-made, culture-made, environment-made. And if you honestly think that you're self-made, boy, are you ever glossing over a lot of people who have, that you're standing on the shoulders of other people who were in your industry, possibly, that kind of built the foundation for you to stand on. That's extremely obtuse of you. So when I had trepidation, or I did have fear, I doubted something about my capabilities or my abilities to help these people. I had mentors, specifically in the very beginning, Harvey Dorfman, who is the guy who wrote The Coaching Mentor. He's known as the Yoda of baseball, worked with all the best baseball players in the world. He was their mental game guy. And I would ping Harvey and he's like, Todd, you got the stuff. Like and it's because of what he got me to really understand was that even if you don't have all the skills yet, if you have the desire to do right by someone, you will work so much harder than the person who does have all the letters behind their name, because they're sort of hosting on this academia or these letters, but you have this extraordinary desire to actually help kids, teenagers, 20 somethings that are now playing professional or whatever. And that can overcome a massive delta in skill set.
Yes. Yeah. No, and that is so true, because I talk to people all the time about this and just like how that pertains to my clients or people who hop on, like being fearful of putting themselves out there and changing themselves for the sake of attracting the right partner for them. Because maybe they've had a string of toxic relationships, right? And now they're like kind of stuck in fear, they're guarded, and so that they don't move forward. And so I wondered if there were certain like techniques or skills that you teach people to get out of their own way, so to speak, when they are in that state of fear.
100%. I mean, one of the best ways to get out of your own way is to get other people on your path with you. That's why someone coming to you, right?
Yes.
You know, so many people self-isolate all the time and they think that their problems are so freaking unique. And no one's had my unique sets of traumas or whatever. And I'm like, I mean, as someone who had extreme traumas at a young age, there nothing in the world can ever be bad because nature tells us that nothing can be bad, right? And so I take a look back at the stuff that happened to me when I was a 12-year-old, and there were capabilities that I got from that. And one of those capabilities that I got, and my spelling of capabilities is CAPE-abilities. There was a cape that I was given that had abilities attached to it. And my capabilities that I was given was an extraordinary amount of compassion for the human experience, which is why I am completely and wholly unafraid to throw punches as hard as I do at bad ideas that are out there in the world of self-help, personal development, leadership, spirituality that do not work on the field of play. Because I am a practitioner. I am a coach. I haven't met anyone who's had more coaching hours than me. Okay. I'm coming up on 20,000 hours of one-on-one coaching. Wow. That's one-on-one. That's not counting group speaking around the world like I have. And so I have an extraordinarily massive amount of data on the real experiences that human beings go through. And there's a lot of really shitty ideas that are spread about in bad books by people who have never done the work. They love to just posture and regurgitate what other people say because it's popular. Well, I don't serve up cotton candy, candy apples, or bubblegum in my content. I'm here to satiate the appetite of ambitious people who are trying to actually do things. That means I give you kale and meat and potatoes. Okay. Might not taste like cotton candy.
That's a weird combo, by the way.
All nutritious. So I don't care what your stance is on things, but it's nutritious. Right. Point being on it is that absolutely I've got techniques. In fact, you had, when in the lead up to this, you had said that alter egos might be might be an extreme way of disassociating. Mm-hmm. And so I am highly sensitive to words, mm-hmm. and it is not an extreme. Mm-hmm. It's the most natural thing. Mm-hmm. It is the most natural thing that you can do as a human being, because your creative imagination is the ultimate secret weapon against resistance. Nothing can beat creative imagination.
I agree. I actually agree with you. I think the extreme comes from what people's own perceptions are, because it feels extreme to them. Do you know what I mean? But like what you're saying, it's like kids do this naturally all the time. I feel like you're the marvel of the, you know, like you're like a superhero. I love the cape, you know, metaphor where you kind of fly in and with your superpowers help. And I think that that is also something so important to help people find their own superhero or superpowers within. Because I find a lot of people focus on what they're not versus what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's an interesting frame. So what are we?
Yeah.
And you've actually, whether you did it on purpose or it's extremely intuitive because of your wealth of experience that you've had working with people, we are not whose. The way that I like to frame it for people is the who part of things, the identity part, are tools. But even on my, if you go to my website, toddherman.me, it doesn't say that I am a coach, I am an entrepreneur, and I am an author. Those are identities. Those are whose. What it says is I coach, I build, I write, I speak. Human beings are verbs. We are human doings. We do things. And the one thing that you had said at the very beginning, and you're actually out of the 500 plus podcast interviews that I've done, you're the first person to ever frame it this way that I've heard, which is you work with people on what it sounds like acting from the outside in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, the father of modern psychology, William James, okay, which, if you're interested in this stuff and you're really trying to understand the human psyche, what's crazy is there is less good stuff today than there was that was originally written by William James well over 100 years ago on the principles of psychology. And then it got completely co-opted by someone who is, you know, there's a reason why I think Freud's name is very similar spelling to the word fraud, because Freud's entire take on psychology is, listen, the reason I do the things that I do isn't because I want to have sex with my mother. Okay.
Right. And
I think that's a good clip for you to pull out as a teaser.
Yeah, that'll be in a reel for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's not why. That's not why. But William James's take on things was that if you try to change your thoughts or your emotions to now influence your behaviors, you can do it that way, but it's extraordinarily difficult. His main take on psychology was it's an outside in force. It's changing behavior and then pulling it inside. So you talk about the costume that you give people, and I talk about it in the Alter Ego Effect book, the importance of having totems, artifacts, and uniforms. And what's actually happening psychologically for you when you use these devices as a means of propelling your performance into a new light.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Like, and that's the thing. I mean, and I say this safely as a trained therapist, because, you know, up until I had my red dress moment, and most people who are listening to this know my story, I used to work from the inside out. I thought, like, that's what we were taught, right? Sure. That was traditional. But it wasn't until I got into this space and I started going out into the streets and playing Hitch and teaching the action piece is when I saw the confidence rise, not only in a more like actionable way and tangible way, right? Because it was something I could physically teach, but also in like the fastest way possible. Like all those years sitting in therapy and just like talking about it, it was one of my frustrations. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just, you know, don't tell me, show me. And that's truly what it is. And when people walk out of a dressing room, they're standing a little taller, right? Like they're not, there's nothing in life really that has that kind of instant effect. Everything else is kind of a longer game. So to the point that you're making, and I love, I, and I, told you this before we hopped on. We speak such similar language. As an athlete or doing things in the field, so to speak, whether it's dating or sports, yeah, it's all about the play and the action.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, so now to take this into practical application, I know your world is about helping people really bring some mastery into their dating lives, right? And, you know, I know that some people, you had said that some people that when they come to you are really coming out of toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And I would probably say that they're coming out of a lot of learning relationships, mm-hmm. you know, because the one thing about the word toxic is we're all taught to stay away from things that are toxic, but learning relationships, I can now look at that relationship and go, well, what can I learn from that?
I love you know, that. Yeah.
How was I a contributor in that, you know, and then take some responsibility and ownership of it so that the new version of me that goes out into the world is a transformed and changed individual. Mm. And then with your help and expertise that you give people in tangible, like the practicality of the stuff that you would be giving people, like I'm a big fan of it because just already in the conversation that you and I had 2 months ago at a conference and then this conversation, like, from my vantage point, like you've got the chops, because I'm highly critical of people typically in our worlds. There's a lot of people posture that they've got it. But then after a couple of questions that I might give people, I'll see that no, they don't, they need to do a lot more reps because they're a little bit too much in the theoretical realm. But having said all that, so to bring things into practicality and uniform, I have a different uniform that I wear when I'm with my kids. It's my super dad outfit. Aww. I don't wear, so right now I've got glasses on if people are just listening to the podcast, and that's a part of my uniform that I have in my professional life. And anyone that's read my book or anyone that knows me well knows that they are non-prescription. I don't need glasses. I bought a pair of non-prescription glasses, and I tell the story in the Alter Ego Effect book because when I started out at doing this work, I was 21. I looked like I was 12. I had a baby face. And I was so insecure about how young I did look and the fact that I did not have six letters behind my name. I didn't have PhD this and MS this or whatever the thing was. I didn't have three best-selling books. Seriously, like my rule in my head was you became an expert when you had three best-selling books, which is completely stupid and arbitrary, but whatever. I was an ignorant 21-year-old at the time. But I used alter egos when I played sport. And then it was an episode of Oprah. It's actually Oprah's favorite episode that caused me to reignite this imagination because of this lady, Johnny Jocks, who was talking about to Oprah about the fact that she had purchased a pair of her shoes during her annual kind of clothing auction, getting rid of Oprah's stuff. And you could buy something of Oprah's. And she was a size 6, I think, and Oprah's a size 10, but she put Oprah's shoes in the corner of her room. She was going through a very difficult time. And when it was a really hard day, she would go and stand in Oprah's shoes to really
I love that.
Borrow that energy. And this was in 1997. You can go and look up the clip online. Johnny Jocks, J-O-N-I. And Oprah, and it's a short little clip that you can watch the interaction. And it helped her go through a difficult time. And I was like, wait a second. I used to do the same thing. I had my alter ego, Geronimo, who was my, you know, alter ego for how I played football and other sports, which allowed me to play much bigger than my actual size. But Geronimo isn't really built for the world of business that I'm going into. So I built a new one, Super Richard, which was a combination. Richard's my first name. I'd never gone by Richard. It was always Todd. But I was like, Richard, I'm going to start using that in business because Richard just sounds like it's more mature than Todd. And Super, because my heroes that I was going to use to build this alter ego were Superman and Benjamin Franklin and Joseph Campbell, who wrote.
Oh, I love that combo.
Yeah. So Joseph Campbell, because he was so articulate and I wasn't being very articulate at what it was that I did. And I loved that Bill Moyers PBS special that I saw when I was about 12 years old in 1988. And his command of the language was just so powerful. And Benjamin Franklin, no one I think in history has reinvented himself more with more phenomenal success in so many careers than Benjamin Franklin. Statesman, author, entrepreneur, inventor. I mean, come on, I could keep on going on. And so from him, I really needed his confidence. because I didn't have much confidence. And then from Superman, it was the decisiveness. He was the man of action, stepped into the phone booth, put on his cape, and then went and saved the world. Well, for me, then I went to Lens Crafters, which was a, you know, an eyewear shop in West Edmonton Mall, which was the biggest mall in the world at the time when I was living in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And I went and bought a pair of non-prescription glasses so I could put on my cape. And so that's where Super Richard was born. And I practiced putting on those glasses and having the feeling and the state of someone who was decisive and articulate and confident. And I had the idea of Benjamin Franklin and Superman and Joseph Campbell all imbuing me with their characteristics and traits. But fundamentally, the reason why Super Richard was born was because every hero to someone else comes along when they're on a pathway of struggle or challenge, and they give them and they become a guide for them. And so I hired Super Richard to be the advocate for my stuff because I was not selling and promoting my stuff. And so this is the one thing that people get wrong about alter egos, because the root of the term alter ego comes from Cicero, probably the greatest Roman statesman and philosopher to ever live. And he coined the term in a letter to a friend 2 years before he was assassinated in 44 BC, when a friend had asked him, "You've had all this success. What secrets can you give me?" So he's caravanning along and he's writing this letter to a friend of this big treaty of his philosophies. And he coined the term alter ego as the other eye or trusted friend within. So for those of you that are making a transition in your dating life and wanting to make a transformation into brand new relationships that are fulfilling and satisfying, and someone's got your back and they're supportive and they're encouraging, and it's all these things, that alter ego can help to create that world for you so that there's a new standard that you live through. And so for me, those three sit behind me. I can see them. You know, I teach visualization, so it's very easy for me to find pictures, but they're there with me and they're watching. And the moment I wasn't confident, decisive, and articulate, those glasses had to come off, because those glasses meant them. And I was not going to dishonor their memory and who they were by not acting through that. So I had switches that I was doing very naturally. And that's all a part of the methodology that I teach inside the book.
That is so brilliant. And you know what I love about that is that you can have different characters for different parts that you want to gain confidence in. And like, you know, the Clark Kent with the glasses to the, I mean, I love the whole thing. And for you listening, if you are finding that there's some sort of struggle or lack of confidence in your dating life, pick an alter ego that you want to aspire to be and dress the part, act as if, as we were talking about, and walk like that person. You know, it was funny that during the dating retreat, there was this older woman and she kept saying out loud, "Well, I'm too old to be sexy." And I said, "Stand up for a second." She's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Just stand up." And she had these glasses on. She had glasses like this.
Yeah.
I have glasses too. And I said, "I just want you to take the glasses and just kind of dip it and say, I'm sexy," like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, I don't know if I can." I said, "It's not a matter of if you can or you can't, just do."
That's
and
right.
So she did it and everyone clapped and she did it. She was super sexy. And so now every time she told me this, when she went home, she kept her cat ears. They have cat ears still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her glasses. And she walks around now in the supermarket and in the coffee shops in that alter ego. And she's able to be the sexy woman that she is.
So what I like to do in that moment, because I coach through identity, and if someone is giving me resistance and they say, "Well, I can't do it." And I'm like, "Well, I know you can't do it.
Oh,
the current version of you can't do it, because that's a part of your entire makeup. But there's another version of you that can do it." And you know what that version is inspired through? Sophia Loren. And I say that one because my friends laughed at me. We were sitting around having drinks I was probably 22 or 23. And my one buddy had a Maxim magazine. This is like 1997 or 8. And he had a Maxim magazine out. And it was like Friday beers with friends. And they were talking about like, "Oh, who's the one who's the one girl that or celebrity that you'd like to get with?
Blah, blah, yeah.
Blah. So they're going around the table and, you know, there's like, you know, Claudia Schiffer and there's, you know, all these kind
my
of.
My God, back in the day. Yeah.
Back in the day.
I remember.
And I said, oh, guys, it's not even close. Sophia Loren. And Sophia Loren probably at the time was 65. And they're like, what? And I'm like, guys, if she isn't the absolute definition of like sexy, then I don't know what is. But anyway, so to the point of like that woman saying I can't be sexy at insert whatever age, I've met some incredibly sexy women. And again, for men, like our version is beyond the looks of things. It's the way that you carry yourself.
And thank
it's
you.
It's the confidence that you're giving off. Like, and I've met so many confident, sexy women that are in 150 different shapes and sizes, you know, 36 different shades of color, you know, of the skin. Like, it just doesn't matter.
I always say it's not about the man. It's not about the woman. It's about you. And it's not until you look in the mirror and you say, I got it going on. Mm-hmm. That's when other people are going to see it. It has nothing to do with other people.
And when you break it down, it's the energy.
Yes.
It's the energy it's that the you're energy. Giving off. Right. And so it's part of that energy is going to come back down to like the predominant thinking that's going on inside of your mind that there. So if you're saying I'm not sexy and you're sort of, you know, affirming that to yourself, then it's going to be hard for your body to display that because it's going to look weak and meek. But when you are coming out and you're like, you're owning a state, everyone picks up on that.
Yeah. And so with the costume confidence, the body language and the signals that you send out into the world shifts. That's what I love about the whole, like how it's all kind of intertwined. And then you have to know like what to say, you know, it's like once you look the part, then
absolutely.
Right. And absolutely. Then, and then it's just having the dialogue of that particular character and yeah. ego. So
and
I have
that,
a question.
And, that comes down to, and again, like yeah. this is what people don't, they don't get. So they hear these things and they hear
right.
you and I talking about practicing yourself into a character. And they think that sounds staged or fake. And I'm like, what are you that delusional that you don't understand that the version of you right now is faked then? Because the only way that you could show up as you are is if you were trained into it, because you did not come out this way. There are certain things that are part of your nature, 100%. There are natural sort of instincts that are a part of all of us. Okay. Like I didn't really need to learn to be gregarious and to love being around other human beings. Mm-hmm. I get fueled from that so much. And I understand that other people, they could only do it for so long before it does start to drain an energy tank for them. And that's all cool, whatever. But every single one of us has did our way into our current character state. And all I'm trying and all I'm giving people and you're giving people is another way of deliberately practicing a character that you actually want. Because if you're sitting there yes. and you don't like the way that you show up, well, then the great thing is we as human beings, we're not trees. An acorn will always become an oak tree. Human beings are not acorns. We get to shift and shape to whatever our creative imagination wants to allow ourselves to become. And the allowing part is only based on the governor or the ceiling that you place on it. I know that it's unlimited inside of my mind because I constantly challenge myself to reimagine things. And so you brought up such an important point that beyond the kind of acting into it, having the language and the practiced phrases, now you've got something that's tangible and you know what you're going to say, you know, and you might have a list of 10 different things that you're going to be that are a kind of a regular part of the vocabulary that your character shows up with. Because I know that many people in social situations, they have a struggle with knowing what to say.
Yes.
Well, okay. In the quiet of your own time, why don't you come up with the things that you're going to say?
100%. And you didn't even know this, but those, these, these three things that we're talking about is the charisma quotient. This is the name of the podcast, but it's my formula in which I teach. It's upping your style, emotional, and social intelligence. And those are the different kind of pillars mm-hmm. that really build people's confidence and cause the charisma kind of quotient formula.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad that you brought up the whole like notion around, oh, well, because everything, the buzzword right now is authenticity, right? And so people might hear this, you might be listening to this, oh, well, that's not authentic. I just want to be authentically me. But really, and this is what I find, is that there's more fear of letting go and being something that you secretly desire
mm-hmm.
that is authentically you, to your point. You know, and so I just want to like put a button on that, because everyone's all about authenticity, but I don't think a lot of people realize what that also first means, but that's also right. that people are scared to tap into that. Because when I give people permission to be a sex vixen, oh my God, like you should see what these people act out. And then afterwards, they're almost apologetic. They're like, I can't believe that was just me. I'm like, well, that is you.
Mm-hmm.
That really was you. Like I didn't do that character. You did it.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the way that I like to frame it with people is because there is no you anyway. So we use
right.
words, we use our language and our vocabulary. It's the one thing that makes human beings unique is that we use language and vocabulary to actually create our world, you know, and there's many studies that have been done that the lower your vocabulary, the lower your social status will be. Also, the lower your earning potential will be. So if you've got a large vocabulary, you're actually expanding your ability to earn more in a professional environment. And it only makes sense, right? Because now you can articulate what's actually going on inside of you, because communicating emotion and feeling is a very difficult thing. That's why for me, when someone is trying to, you know, I'm working with people on the inner game, the mental game, performance, and they're trying to communicate why to me, I don't really care about their why. But if I can see that it resonates and it's resonant within you, I'm like, you don't need to explain it to me. There's no qualifying it. I can see it. You get it. Only you need to get it. I don't need to get it. You need to get it, because it's clumsy to get the words matched up well with whatever the emotion, the feeling, the story is that's inside your head. But there is no me. There is no you. There's a physical version of me, but there's many expressions of me. So expression is about attributes, traits, and characteristics. And the way that I like to frame it to people is that there is this ocean of traits and capabilities and attributes that are living inside of you. It's the human experience part. And what happens is we sort of decide that Todd is these five things. He's a challenger personality type as a coach. He's decisive, or whatever the things are. And then it collapses into an identity that then I take out into that field of play. But those aren't the characteristics and traits that I bring into being a dad. I'm playful. I'm fun. I'm creative. I'm loving. I try to be patient. Don't always win at that game. But those are the traits that I'm going into this pool and grabbing and bringing out into an identity that's called dad to my three little kids. And I try to live through those, because I know that I'm not just a challenger personality type, even though I can work 8, 9, 10, 14-hour days coaching and training and leading people and CEOing and stuff. And that habit of flexing that identity could make me believe that that's who I am, but that's not who I am. That's a useful version of me that I take onto that field to help me win at that game. But this other field demands a different side of me, because I don't want to be a challenger to my kids. Biggest reason why is the kids will typically win because they're so damn persistent.
So then the
same thing goes to me being a husband and friend and lover to my wife. There's a different set of traits that are there. And the more that I understand that I have so many roles in my life, it allows me to become a far more whole human being. And then they all end up that creativity and that playfulness and that lovingness, of course, it's going to end up seeping over and making me even a better coach, because now I've expanded my entire zone of character traits and attributes. So the terms you, me, I just don't fall victim to them. And I'm happy that you brought up authenticity and authentic self and stuff. There is no such thing as an authentic self. there's an authentic version of me that I'm trying to bring into being a dad, but yeah. I decided that authentic version, and I could give two shits if someone else thinks that I'm authentic. I really don't, because it is such a trapping narrative that's been brought along by the worlds of social media so that people can posture online with some bullshit persona that isn't actually anything like they actually want to live through.
Yeah. Oh my God. We could go down a whole rabbit hole and this thing too, because I have like a lot to say about also the difference between shape, what I call shape shifting, when you're like trying to be something that you know the other person wants of you. That's different than what we're talking about here. And that could also
chapter
be
chapter three of the book.
That's totally. What I call the trapped self. Amazing.
The trapped self versus the heroic self. Yeah. Heroic self is you're doing it because it's what makes you feel good and it's how you want to show up. A trapped self is anytime you're trying to do something for the benefits of others, and or you're doing it for the context and the environment that you're in so that you can fit in, you can shut up, you don't ruffle feathers. Like, again, like I am like the one thing I've got another post that I'm putting out soon is like, I'm uncancelable. I will say what I know, but I'm only going to speak about things that I know about, but you literally cannot cancel me. I am uncancelable. Why? Because I will not play your game.
Okay. On a different note, because I looked at the time, I'm like, oh my God, we could go on forever. Which character were you when you got your wife? Were you all, like all of them? Which parts of you came out?
No, I was social Casanova when I was.
We didn't talk about him.
Yeah, no, of course not. I probably have actually never talked about really him because it hasn't come up, but it makes sense to come up on yours. No, I was social Casanova. So my mom used to call me a little Casanova when I was a kid because, you know, I just had a propensity to have like a lot of like girlfriends when I was like 8, 10, 11, 12. It didn't really mean anything much more than that. I was very comfortable around women. And so I've got a lot of very good looking, accomplished friends in my home of New York City. And it's really funny how they all have the capabilities to approach women in bars and everything, but they will always default to me to go over and make the introductions. And I had one line that I used every single time, going back to like what you empower people with language. I had one line I used every time and it always worked.
What was it?
It was just being playful. I'd come up to you and your friends and I'd say, excuse me, we're having, it looks like you guys are having a lot of fun, but we're having way more fun over there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But I think if we join our two groups together, because now I'm not singling anyone out, right? It's
exactly.
There's safety in groups, and there needs to be in the female world, because whatever, like there's a lot of social and anthropological things that are going on. But if we combine our two groups, I think we could have an epic night. And that was it. And they're like, oh, that's funny, or you're so funny, or whatever. And, you know, the two groups would join. And one of my best mates, Jordan from Perth, Australia, lives in New York City. He met his wife that way. Jessica.
Oh, really?
She's the producer on the ABC show. And her group of friends, they were all actually producers on Tyra Banks' show at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how we all met was that. But it was, you know, when I met my wife, it was the social Casanova.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So if you're a guy listening to this, if you try what Todd just said and it works, definitely email me because I want to hear about
Absolutely.
It.
Ping me as well. Right? It's such an easy statement. Like if you're out with some buddies and you see a group of women, like just walk over and say, hey, looks like you're having a lot of fun. We're having way more fun over there. If we join these two groups, who knows what'll happen, but I think it'll be an epic night.
Now, the key is when you're saying that, A, don't hesitate and be the creepy guy in the corner and like, you know, hesitate because we feel that. B, dress the part and be playful as you're doing it. So, Todd, thank you so much. I mean, please like plug your book. Where can people find you? Any last words of wisdom that you want to share?
Yeah, sure. So my home base on the internet is toddherman.me. And I have a weekly newsletter that I share with people called A Peak Life, which is lessons from decades of working with people so that you can have your peak life, not my peak life. That's why it's a peak life, not the peak life, because everyone has their own way and ideas and values that they want to kind of have in their world. So there's that. And then Alter Ego Effect, the book, found everywhere books are sold. And if you did have a favorite takeaway from the conversation today, I love it when people tag or DM and share what it is, whether you screenshot the little, you know, Spotify app or whatever you listen to this through and YouTube, and then share it and favorite takeaway. And I respond to everybody.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Tag me too.
No, tag us both. Tag us both.
That's so cool. Oh, Todd, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'll definitely have to have you back on if you'll come back on.
Absolutely. No, this is a fun conversation. It's tough. It's always fun talking to someone. It's a meeting of the minds when we share the exact same things with other people.
Our superpowers. I love it. Thank you. And thanks for joining me today. You listening, this has been the Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, of course, Kimmy Seltzer. And remember, you can build confidence and make connections, find love from the outside in. And if you want to know more, make sure you go to my site, kimmyseltzer.com. And if you're having a challenge in your love life and need a little help in creating an alter ego, pick up Todd's book, first of all. But if you want help getting over some of the anxiety and fears and obstacles, especially in your love life, book a call with me to help you come up with your alter ego, vixen name, perhaps. We can start with that. And a plan to overcome what is now your love shield. And if you think you are an awful flirt, know that you need to find an alter ego or a costume, so to speak, to boost your sexy confidence, then I have just the thing for you that will put you in that state of action. So I have a new co-ed workshop coming up, and it's called Unleash Your Sexy Confidence, where you will learn to embody the art of attraction and chemistry. So if you're tired of feeling stuck in your dating life, or you're struggling to create chemistry and attraction when you're on the dates, and maybe you just wish you had more sex appeal, then definitely check out this workshop coming up. And it's coming up soon. And just go to stophatingdating.com, register now, take action, because I have a feeling spots are gonna go fast on this one. It is a hot topic. And remember, working on you is working on your dating life. That's all for now.